Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. You know, guys, when you get to be our age, finding the motivation to get back in shape can be hard. It's just plain tough to find a routine and to stick with it. Good news. FitBod is a fitness app that is anything but routine. It tailors your workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule, so you can avoid burnout. And FitBod helps keep up your momentum by mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. Best yet, FitBod has over 1,000 demonstration videos, so you can learn the right way to do each exercise. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/zabe. That's fitbod.me/zabe. You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, Hoser. We got charged today. Here we go.
Good day.
Now,
welcome.
If I'm going to praise you when you nailed it, I need to be able to say that was not your best clue.
I know. It was not very good. I'm still fighting this little scritch of GERD in my voice that I'm taking medication for, and it was pretty good for a while, but then it's kind of come back, and I don't know. Trying to be good about not eating spicy sauces or eating after 6 o'clock
at
night.
What's the fun of that?
Or avoiding carbonated beverages. Right. You want to fix your GERD? Here's how. Just die. Just don't even live life.
I are now experts in the field.
Suck, doctors. The worst. All right.
Is it secretly a weight loss plan, or is it really for good?
Right. I don't know.
And for this medication, how is it delivered?
Orally, via pill form.
Orally.
Yeah. Oh,
is it a spray? Is it a pill?
It's a pill.
How do you take it? It's a pill. All right. So it's not like a
pantoprazole.
Spray that goes down your throat.
Pantoprazole. It's like omeprazole, which is also, it's over the counter basically to combat acid reflux or GERD.
Okay. If it were twice as effective and you had to take it rectally, would you do it?
Why? If it was half as effective and I could take it rectally, I do it just for the thrill. Ooh. Hey, doctor, using the whole fist there. All right. Paul Charchian is here with us today. And holy digs, Batman. The Buffalo Bills on a random Wednesday in early April, less than 30 days from the NFL draft, but well past the free agent spending flurry, have traded star receiver Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans for next year number two. Your thoughts? And they eat a shit ton of dead cap.
Oh, over $30 million in dead cap. I mean, how badly do you want Diggs out of your organization when you're going to take a $30 million dead cap hit? And to top things off, your current wide receiver room is filled with a bunch of guys only fantasy players even have heard of. So they're right now sitting as your leading receivers, Curtis Samuel, who you know for the 8 games a year he would play for the Commanders.
That guy's Collins. Great. He just never plays. He's always hurt.
He is kind of a special utility player for his role, but clearly not a go-to guy. Mac Hollins and Khalil Shakur, who is a slot guy, and so is Curtis Samuel. So, I mean, right now, the Bills, and by the way, not a lot. You know, it's not like they're at the top of the draft. They're not coming down with Marvin Harrison Jr. out of this draft. So it's going to be a rebuild at the wide receiver position for them. And Zabe, you gotta wonder at least a little bit about, did the Bills ultimately win on their trade with Minnesota to get Diggs when the Vikings got Justin Jefferson with their pick?
That is a great one, and that's a complicated one because everyone's going to have a different opinion of what sort of the end zone is on who scored in that trade. On the one hand, the Bills had several screamingly good years with Diggs.
Yeah.
Got real close to the mountaintop before falling off. But they didn't get to the
overtime.
Super Bowl. Right? Didn't get to the Super Bowl. Meanwhile, you guys got this incredible thermonuclear talent at wide receiver, but also didn't do much postseason with him. And now his quarterback is gone, and it's unsure if you're going to keep him. Right? Did I get the basic shape of it right? So who wins?
There's not a lot of doubt that they'll keep him, but the fact that he's not signed yet every day you get gets a little bit more troubling.
Listen to you. You're like, there's not a lot of doubt that we're going to keep him. Is he signed? No. Then I'd be doubting.
Well, he's under contract. He's under contract.
For...
He doesn't want to play his fifth year option. Right?
Which is?
So, I don't know. I don't
Is it this? Is it this year right now? I'll look it up while you talk. So you got him under contract for one more year, but he is going to.
He's under contract. Now, obviously, he's not going to play under that deal. I mean, if this thing goes all the way to August and September, he's not playing on this deal. So they're going to have to find a way to sign him. But everything I'm hearing and believe is that both sides think it done. The price has gone up in the year. They got close, very close last offseason. Price has only gone up, unfortunately. Vikings probably should have held their nose and gave him the deal last year because all this new betting money has raised the cap so much and all the new TV deals and all the money that's coming in, the Christmas games and everything else. He's only gotten more expensive. So anyway,
all right. So by the way,
a Viking.
His upcoming 2024 season is his walk year. That is year 5. So it is down to it right now. And mm-hmm. Why didn't the Vikings shoot ahead of the target, lead him monetarily like a good quarterback throws a pass beyond his star wide receiver, let him run under it? Why do they balk at giving him more money?
My understanding is, and I'm not going to expand on that at all.
Okay.
Is that they made massive offers to Justin Jefferson. Like the kind that 98 out of 100 players would have taken, and for reasons I'm not going to get into, could not get him to take it. even though they had, you know, they'd gotten extraordinarily close.
Sounds like
this
you
is
got
not
good
on a Vikings.
Sounds like you got good inside juice on this. You're not willing to put your name to on my podcast, and I kind of love it because now I get to think about what does Charge know.
Yeah, it's you know, the Vikings have made very good offers, is my understanding, and haven't been able to quite get there. So yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that. I don't think this is on the Vikings. I think this is if there is blame to be assigned, and I don't even know if there is. I don't think it's on the Vikings.
Okay, so who do you think won the trade? Who do you think your K-Fan and Minneapolis callers today, tonight, tomorrow will say ended up winning the trade?
Well,
I think it's you guys. I think it's you guys because
I think it's us.
You minused out a cancer. Diggs is a cancer. I'll go on record right now. The Texans will regret this. They'll regret it. I know cancers in sports. I've been yakking about sports my whole life. I've seen him come. I've seen him go. I know him when I see him. He's it. An unstable cancer. They will regret this. On paper, the Texans look amazing, right?
They do. Zabe, you know, we're talking about Super Bowl upside. And by the way, a month ago, I put in a Super Bowl wager for the Texans for next year, and I'm liking it even better now.
Oh, yeah.
Now, yeah. So that, they added.
And if it, what's the odds, by the way?
I should go get if
rough. I don't need it down to the number, but just 20, roughly speaking,
like 26-1.
26-1. And is that just to make it or to win it?
Well, it's to win it, which I'm fundamentally opposed to doing. You should never bet to win it. You should bet to get there.
But you can always hedge out once you're there.
Yes.
For a significant amount, you can hedge out. So that's fine. That's a nice bet. If that comes home, that maybe would cover your three-way leverage of the Eagles over this past year. Because you bought every share of stock in the Eagles.
Boy, did that hurt. Oh, that hurt.
Hey, so here's win some, lose some, man. It's gambling.
The Texans have now got three great receivers. And Diggs is the clear number three out of the three. They got Nico Collins, who blossomed into a pure number one last year. Mm-hmm. Then they got Tank Dell, who was a rookie last year, who was on a sensational run until he got hurt, I don't know, like two-thirds point of the season. And then now you add Stephon Diggs to that. Now, assuming Diggs isn't a total cancer to this team, this is, you know, if he knows his place, if he knows his role, he can just be effective and enjoy playing for another good team. I mean, the Vikings are good when he was here. Bills are even better when he was there. This is another ascending team with a great young quarterback like Josh Allen was when he went to Buffalo. Just, you know, just do your part. The Texans become a scary team. Now, they paid too much. I thought the second rounder for a disgruntled guy, you know, who can be a pain in the ass. I expected to be a fourth or fifth rounder. When I saw second, I was like, wow.
Right.
The Bills got a lot more than I thought. But I think maybe the Texans had a spare second rounder because of their deal with the Vikings three, 4 weeks ago. And they just felt like, hey, it's kind of free money. We're just going to, you know, we're going in on Diggs right now. And I love it.
Yeah. Diggs is also expensive this year for the Texans. He's $19 million. They've got to pay him that. So it's not like he's cheap this year, but they don't have the dead cap that the Bills will absorb. So back to the Bills for a second. What does this mean? Is their window closed?
And
No,
not closed, because you've got Josh Allen, right? You know, he's
great. We got Josh Allen, who before Diggs stunk.
Yeah, well, that's true, but he was also very young in his
stunk-ish
career, right?
Let's put it that way.
He was extremely inconsistent, would be maybe a charitable way to put his play before Diggs got there. Now, he's going to need more help than he's gotten, that he's got on roster right now. But the Bills are going to find their way to some good rookies. This is a great wide receiver draft. There's going to be help for the Bills to get in this draft. And I wouldn't be surprised if they took that extra second rounder that they've got. They cobble that together with their first rounder, move up into the middle of the first round. They got a lot of flexibility now to go solve wide receiver, and there's still so much talent on that team. I still think the Bills are right in the thick of things.
Yeah, well, they're going to hope to catch a little bit of Goody in a bottle, because Goody and the Packers killed it last year on wide receivers in the mid to late rounds with guys like Jaden Reed, second rounder, Dontavion Wicks, who was a fifth rounder. They got two tight ends who are pass catchers. It was a goddamn haul for the Packers last year, and it's still possible to do that, but you got to hit the right numbers. So we'll see. Interesting for the Bills to do that. On a more, you know, like personality front, what was Diggs all about even when he was a Viking?
The weird thing was, Zabe, until he decided he didn't want to be a Viking, he was a really good Viking and he was a good teammate and a good player. Then the whole Diggs thing just unraveled, and it happened in season. It started in season,
okay,
and then carried over to the next year.
What was it?
It was believed it was about two things. Kirk Cousins, who was at that point had just gotten here and wasn't as good as he was later in his career, and then just. It's the old diva stuff, right? The game plan wasn't built around him. It was a Mike Zimmer offense where they were running constantly. You know, even if they weren't very good at running, they were running.
Right.
And Diggs wanted to be the 1A on a team that had a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins.
I understand that. He felt like his career was being wasted with a mediocre quarterback, a dick of a head coach whose offense stunk. And he wasn't getting any younger, so he wanted out. So I get that part of it. But then there's stuff that happened in Buffalo, and the atmospherics were coming out and coming out and coming out. And you always take everything with a grain of salt, but there was too much smoke billowing from sources in Buffalo, and he wasn't happy, which is quite odd because, man, after that first year in the playoffs together, they're doing co-interviews on the field, like, we're best buddies, man, you know, to NBC. You remember that interview? They're like, we love each other. Yay. That did not last.
Yep, it didn't last at the end of the day. And but you remember Stephon Diggs' brother, the Dallas Cowboy player.
Yeah, Trayvon Diggs
was tweeting at the end of the season all of the things, you know, now that look like they're pretty prescient. He was tweeting about, you know, how much he didn't like how the Bills were using Diggs. And, you know, he turned into sort of the mouthpiece for Diggs. So I don't think anybody's really surprised that it ended this way and that it ended badly. But here we are.
Yeah.
The Bills got a second round pick for a player who's clearly on the wrong side of his career. Houston overpaid a little bit, but not financially. So, you know, maybe it ends up being a win-win. And it just makes me love the Texans. I don't like Diggs. But I love the Texans even more and think they're just a force in the AFC now.
Yeah.
By the way, you want the MVP voting for – last I saw, MVP for C.J. Stroud was 60-1. 6-0-1.
Yeah.
That's – that looks
jumped
pretty
up.
Compelling right
oh,
now.
Oh, I thought you were going to give me the now that this trade has been done. It's
well,
up to 40.
I just saw that on Twitter as the trade was going down. I don't know what it is now, but let me see if I can find it.
All right. According to Lance Zierlein, who works in the Houston market, he says, by all accounts, C.J. Stroud doesn't put up with it at all. He will stand his ground if Diggs becomes confrontational. He's the leader and will run the ship.
Well good. Okay, that sounds
I hope so.
Good, but you tell me Josh Allen was a pushover? Does that seem likely?
I think Josh Allen is a little bit of a go-along, get-along, guy's guy type personality, from what I can sense, than maybe just an alpha. But I'm not close to the team. What do I know? I'm just judging from afar. So, we'll see about Stroud. I hope it works out for them. But, man, I would not have liked that move. They have enough weapons. I mean, you can never have too many. I get it. But, yeah. Of course, you know, maybe they could have gotten Rashee Rice, on cheap. Because can we pivot to that story? Because, what a fucked up story. He admitted yesterday that at least he was involved in the crash and that the cars, he owned the Corvette and he was leasing the Lamborghini.
Which somebody else crashed.
Yeah. He didn't say he was driving either one, and someone said, well, why wouldn't he just say if he was or he wasn't? And I'm like, lawyers are going to tell you, don't admit to anything more than you have to. or as obvious. So this keeps him at arm's length of, can you prove that I was driving? Because if he was driving and caused the accident, he's in far more legal trouble than if he was just in the passenger seat, right? Maybe he's got a fall guy that's willing to go, I was driving. So that's why you don't admit it right now. But the league has got to start coming down on these types of crimes that involve potentially killing innocents by driving insanely recklessly, especially after Henry Ruggs. They got a domestic abuse policy. They've got a drug policy. Mm-hmm. They ought to have a reckless driving policy. Just my two cents.
Well, you'd hate to think that you have to have a policy for every possible crime that could come down the road, but should they take this very seriously? Absolutely. Now, he fled the scene.
Yeah.
Now,
there's video of them and another guy with bags.
That's right.
So whipping out of the car.
Stuff.
Yeah. And I'm like, what do you think was in the bag? Let's see, if I had three guesses, I'd guess money, weed, and guns. Oh, am I right? How did I know? Oh, because that's the trifecta with every dipshit athlete who gets stopped by the cops. We found weed, cash, and a gun. No shit.
Okay. So do you think in the moment they probably weren't weighing this with the kinds of mental scales I'm going to ask you to weigh it with right now, Zabe? For whatever punishment they get for leaving the scene, is that going to be less than the punishment they would have got for the weed, drugs, and cash that they would have been found with had they stayed at the scene? Because now nobody can tie, you know, those guns, that cash, and that weed is gone.
Right.
Right. That has disappeared to the wind. So at the end of the day, fleeing the scene of the crime looks worse, but probably smart to do it that way.
Right, because that would get him suspended, and that's where the real money is in Rashee Rice's weekly check.
You got it.
Yeah.
There's no NFL policy about fleeing a scene of a crime, but they like to ring you up for drugs, and it could have been worse than weed, by the way. Could have been a lot worse than weed. Who knows?
Yeah, it could have been. Wow. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. Okay, a couple of things and a quick break, and then we'll do the back half of this. I've got some music nerdery into with you. Angel Reese, did you hear her podium excuses yesterday and her whining and crying and putting on the victimhood coat about, oh, boo-hoo is me, just because she lost? She is getting roasted today on cable TV, and rightfully so. It's about time people said, look, we're not going to worry about being called racist by calling a fact a fact. What are you talking about? I haven't had a happy day since we won the championship last year. But I'm not going to change who I am. And I tell young girls, stay strong. Be who you are. Okay, so what's the fucking problem? Oh, I get death threats. Well, you're a public person. And that happens, especially on the internet for public people. Sorry, it's a reality. Otherwise, and then the whole I've been sexualized. I looked it up. She did the SI swimsuit issue. She did another sexy photo shoot with a marketing company to build her brand where she's wearing, I think, very, you know, sexy but tasteful for the most part clothing. It's all for the gram, as the kids like to say, George. And I'm just like, man, don't pull that shit out. Oh, I've been sexualized. You've been it because you want to get paid. Your thoughts?
I had 3.5 hours of radio yesterday to kill, and I was debating if I was going to get into this as we broke down the game, and ultimately decided to not go into this.
Right.
I fear that it's going to be racially charged.
It always is.
And it shouldn't be. And it shouldn't be. Yeah. It has nothing to do with race, I don't think. I thought it was, if you go back a year, I thought her pointing to her finger in the face of Caitlin, her ring finger in the face of Caitlin Clark, was classless. Uh-huh. And she put that on herself. Now, she gets to do that. You know, you're the champion. If you want to do that, you can do that. But then you can't, a year later, when the same person knocks you out, play the victim card when you jammed it up in her grill the year before. I don't think you can do that. And a lot of the things that she's talking about, I believe, are just part and parcel with being a sports superstar, which they now are. You saw the ratings, Zabe.
Oh, yeah. The ratings are unbelievable. 12.8
million. 12.8
million.
Now, to give some context to that, because a lot of people don't know if that's a lot or a little.
I went through this yesterday, yes. But thank you on
that.
Okay,
you did.
So we don't have to do that. Here's our prediction, you and I. What will the final be if Iowa is in the final? 15?
Yeah, it'll be in the 15 range.
That's incredible.
And because think of it, so the storyline will have then been Caitlin Clark just beat Paige Beckers, who is widely considered to be like the second best player.
And then beat Dawn Staley in the South Carolina Gamecocks, who we know are going to be.
And the undefeated South Carolina Gamecocks.
Yeah, right.
I mean, talk about a storyline. You're looking at men's or women's absolute history. If she can pull, Caitlin Clark can pull off this run. People are going to watch. I'm going to watch. It's appointment view.
Yeah. By the way, hey, watch this. I've watched one women's game all year. That was the other night against LSU. Man, South Carolina's not losing to Iowa. They're just not. They're better. There's my sports guy hot take. All I've done, I've watched one stupid game, and I'm already ready to have that hot take. Yay, sports.
You're not alone. I talked to somebody who knows this sport.
And?
Lindsey Whalen is in the in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Had her on my show yesterday.
Oh.
And she feels that South Carolina is the best team.
Right.
And I think that's a fair assessment. Yes.
Unless Caitlin Clark hits 33 long range shots. Including seven from half court.
Yeah. You can't rule that out.
You can't rule that out. One more real quick before we take a break and do my music nerdery. The Chiefs and the Royals were stung yesterday by an Election Day defeat on a new stadium proposal that would have put in a teensy, tiny tax 0.75 cents to pay for upgrades or new stadiums for both teams. And now they're like, okay. We really can't threaten to move.
No, you really can't.
What are we going to be, the San Antonio Chiefs? I don't think right. so.
And even no the market, Royals can't really.
No, right, exactly. So what do they do? This was a tiny tax, and the people have finally said, Charge, no, fuck you. Build your own stadium.
Yes, and if you're, especially for the Chiefs fans. And by the way, the Hunt family hated, reviled, which is a lot of it there.
Right, and they were rated the worst ownership by the NFLPA's confidential survey this year. Remember that?
Correct, correct. Yes, and anonymous survey. I don't think it's more anonymous than confidential, but yes. And so I think that probably doesn't help. Also, the people of Kansas City like their ball. The people of Kansas City for the Royals, they like the Royals ballpark. And Arrowhead's iconic. And there isn't that much interest in demolishing those stadiums. So I'm.
They like them. I am both.
They do.
Wow.
Have you ever been to either one?
No.
They're both great stadiums.
And
Arrowhead is one of the great legacy stadiums for sure. And the Royal Stadium is. It's a treat. It's
okay.
It's a really nice like 1960s era stadium. But it was built so smartly, and there's so many great sight lines, and you're so close to the field.
And you got the fountains out like there in center that Drunky McChick sometimes gets into. They did replace the turf with grass, right? So it's a grass field now.
I believe that is correct. Yeah.
Okay. Here's a fun fact I did not know until just a little while ago. Initially, they had proposed to create a giant moving roof that could go from one
stadium
to the other on giant tracks. Google that if you got spare fingers right now. That was the original proposal, and they ran out of money. And I'm thinking to myself, damn, that's a hell of an engineering feat to pull that off, but that's what they were going to do. So, yeah.
That sounds completely implausible. As people from your listenership in Milwaukee know, the stadium, the rooftop, just like on a situated roof,
I think it would have been more canopy than
roof.
Yeah,
that's a great way to put it.
Let me not say roof, but canopy. No, it would not seal tight, but it was going to be like a giant canopy that can slide from one to the other. And
I hate it. And, okay, listen.
Well, guess what? Don't worry. It ain't going to happen because they ain't got no money.
Good citizens
of Kansas and Missouri and Kansas City, Missouri, they're like, no, fuck you. Build your own shit. So there you go.
Well,
best team in the league, the Magic Unicorn, just won a Super Bowl. Do we have some money for a stadium?
How much money? Right. Yeah, exactly. How much money do you think the Hunt family has made in the last 5 years? They can afford it.
Right. All right. Well, you have a city that decided to invest in stadiums.
Yep.
And your stadium is beautiful. You're glad to have it.
I am glad to have it. Is everybody glad to have it? Probably not. But as I like to remind you and your listeners from time to time, our stadium, US Bank Stadium, does not get used 8 times a year. It gets used like 300 days out of the year. It has some function in it.
Right.
They use it for all kinds of things. Their high school graduations are in it. I mean, it's just tons and tons of stuff. So, there are ways that you can make a taxpayer funded stadium be a lot more valuable to the community than just, writing a check to an owner.
Yeah. And then thinning out the Magpie and Sterling populations is also a function technically of the building. That glass just kills birds and right. Did I say Sterling? I meant to say Starling. Sterling, I don't think, is a bird. Okay. Hey.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about Donald Sterling. We were thinning out the owner the bad owner population is what I thought you meant.
I know. Starlings and magpies. Although I think magpies you don't want to get rid of. Starlings are a bit invasive. They're the ones that do the big weird flocks, where you can see the shape of the flock. They're big in the Midwest as they go from empty cornfield to empty cornfield. I'm a bird nerd. Okay, what are you going to do? Hey, did you hear? If you subscribe to the Zabecast, just go to zabe.com/premium. You can now get all 4 days leading up to Friday's subscriber edition of the show ad-free. If you don't have $5 a month or don't choose to pay me like the good citizens of Kansas City, then guess what? You're going to have to endure a few ads right now. But on the backside of these ads, Charge and I nerd out about music for 10 minutes, and then we're done. You are listening to the Zabecast. All right, we're back. You know what? My favorite cover band has done it again. Oh, hell yeah. When I saw this drop on my YouTube feed, and you can't hear it right now, Church, but I did send you a link to it. The great Russian and Ukrainian studio band, cover band, all-star band of European musicians and singers, you don't know who they are, but they're really, really good, has covered another one of Earth, Wind, and Fire's classics, Boogie Wonderland. Just gonna listen to it here for a second. Oh my God, it's so good. I showed you these crazy cats when I was at your house on New Year's Eve. They had not yet covered this song, and so I'm like, well, thank God. Now, they drop a YouTube video of a song cover very unpredictably. It's like every 3 months or 6 months kind of thing. So they take a lot of time. The leader, old Leonid, he has to transcribe all this, and he has to create certain melodic complements to the song that didn't exist in the original band, because Earth, Wind, and Fire, they had about four brothers with horns. They had about four brothers that could sing, a guitar, a bass, and two synths, and a drummer. That's a lot, right? Let me tell you the lineup of this orchestra they put together for this adaptation of the song. Ready?
Ready.
Lead vocal, three backup vocalists, some doo-wop singers, bass player, lead guitar, two synth, one piano, five horn players, eight strings, one bongo player, one percussionist, one drummer, and then if that wasn't enough, a timpanist and two French horns.
Because oh my God. One French horn is never enough. You need two French horns.
And it's not just the audio that is sublime and perfect. It's also the video production showing them in studio doing it. It's beautifully lit, beautifully shot. I mean, it's such perfection for a band nerd like me. Because, you know, I know how hard it is to play all of these instruments, except for the drums. That's the one thing I could play. That wasn't hard, but it was fun. Every other instrument's really hard, and they're all super talented. And what's crazy is that, you know, this song, a classic, didn't have a string complement. Right. Leonid wrote it as a composer. He was like, okay, how do I incorporate something that adds depth and flavor to the original song but doesn't sound weird or detract?
Yeah.
And he does it. It's amazing.
It is amazing. What makes this so special to me is they've managed to find this ground where you can add in 16 strings and add in French horn and everything, and you haven't desecrated the song.
No.
You've somehow, it's all additive. It's all better.
Right.
And I think if 98% of the time, if somebody were to triple the number of instruments that were playing in a song, it would just wreck the song. But in the case of Leonid and Friends, it takes a really cool song and makes it
even
cooler. So much cooler.
Yeah.
It's shocking. Yes. It's really good. What this always reminds me of, and I think we talked about it at the time when you were at my house, it was the Ann and Nancy Wilson tribute to Led Zeppelin and Stairway to Heaven, where they blew that thing out when it started with really just like the two of them on stage and a basic drum and like a bass. And then they just kept adding more and more people and singers. And the thing just expanded and expanded and expanded. And by the end of Stairway to their version of Stairway to Heaven, Robert Plant is sobbing like a baby.
Right, because it was that moving. I don't know if we actually played that or talked about this here on the pod. Let me see if I can get you a little snippet of it right here so you can take a listen.
Ah, it's so good, Zane. Makes me wonder.
I believe Nancy Wilson said when she first stepped out on stage, this is the Kennedy Center. Obamas are there. The original Led Zeppelin is there. They have behind them like a 50-voice orchestra, not a 50-voice chorus that's hidden behind these curtains that doesn't pop out until the song really gets cooking. Nancy Wilson said, when I walked out there, I could barely feel the tips of my fingers. I was so nervous. And she had to open with that little guitar riff that starts this song. But it just builds and builds and builds. And what's great is that John Bonham's son, Jason, is playing drums on stage and killing it as a tribute to his freaking dad.
Yes. I had forgotten that little nuance, but of course that's absolutely pivotal to the whole thing. And as they keep peeling back the onion on this, and they keep the stage behind the band keeps opening up to show new people, new singers, and it just does this layer after layer after layer as the song is building and they're adding new people. You just, I get chills. I get chills just talking about it right now.
I know.
It is.
I'm playing it right now and you can't hear it. And I'm also watching it. It's on YouTube. It's only got 38 million views.
That's it.
That's still about a billion views behind Gangnam Style, which is trash, but I still kind of like it. But still, 38 million views is nothing to sneeze at. Stairway to Heaven, Heart, live at the Kennedy Center Honors, full version. It's gloriously done in high def with great audio on top of it. Make sure to check it out. Because basically, what's his name from Led Zeppelin? The lead
Robert
guy.
Robert Plant.
Right, so Robert Plant, you see him through the song. They cut away to him a couple times. And at first, he's got his fingers on his chin, and he's listening intently. He's like, interesting. Mm-hmm. So he obviously had never heard this, wasn't maybe even aware it was going to happen. They, like, surprised him with it. And as the song goes on, as he's looking on interested, like you said, the glaze of tears of appreciation just start to cover his weathered eyes.
Yeah.
And he's nodding to his bandmates as the song goes on, and they're like nodding their head and they're starting to move. Yeah. They're like, God damn, this is good right now.
Yep, you can see because they do cut to the band every, like 45 seconds or so, you can see them start to realize how special the moment is. As the song is going on, it's a long song. It's like 7 minutes or whatever.
Right.
And so you can see their countenance change throughout the song, and it's epic.
Yeah.
It's absolutely epic, and it's part of just what makes music special are those kinds of moments. And I love that.
How about this guy here who's playing the Jimmy Page guitar solo in this song, as Page is looking on with a smile of appreciation, like, "Yep, you got it. That's it.
Nailed it." How would you feel about trying to do one of the most iconic solos in the history of music in front of the guy who did it?
I would shit my pants. But this is the music equivalent of sports and being clutch in the moment. Summoning that poise to deliver what you know you can do, what you've done your whole life on the biggest of stages. That's what's cool.
Let me ask you this, and I've only got a couple of minutes before I have to run to a meeting.
Yeah, that's fine.
Your Boogie Wonderland by Leonid and Friends has already garnered several reaction videos.
Oh, I love those, where other musicians will be like, okay, what am I looking at here? They have no idea, and it's a split screen. They're like, oh, man, damn, this is good.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I love that. I'm shocked at reaction videos. There are people getting famous and making a living on just doing reaction videos, Zabe.
Yeah.
That, there are people who are apparently talented enough that we care about the reaction video, what their reaction would be, and they can break down songs and explain it, and I love it. I think that's super fun.
Yeah. I'm going to do one for TikTok by Kesha and pretend like I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing, this song. All right, Charge, you got to go. I got to go. Love you, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Bye-bye.
All right, see you.
And she's buying a stairway to heaven.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.